about the Messi thing.
Anything else on the Messi front, Chris, before we move on?
No, I'm done.
I'm falling out. I told you, I never want to bring this guy's name up again.
I don't know, man. This Messi thing is just a freaking mess. What a disaster.
I don't want to hear this name ever again until it's official. But they got me back.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, the hair on the back. Well, actually, Chris is running late as usual. But welcome, everybody, to episode number 176 of the Battered Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me very soon will be Mr. KBD. But until he gets on here, I just wanted to touch up on a couple of things. We put out the debate on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, earlier today. And a lot of people agree. If there is some type of parade, which I don't think there would be, but if there is some type of parade for Inter Miami, most people, although small sample size, do think that it should be done in Miami. Our guest today, Tommy Tutte, I'm going to ask him because he covers a real sports town, which is up in Boston, New Hampshire, that New England area, and they've had plenty of parades. So I'm kind of curious as to what he says. But I did want to just touch on that real quick because, like I said, a lot of people said that it should be in Miami if there is going to be one. Although for those people that live in Broward, say that it should be in Broward. Today, Matias Rojas officially signed. I still haven't heard anything about who exactly got cut or was let go or traded away or any of that. So I guess we'll find out some more of that in the coming days. But Matias Rojas, I guess a good time because I have a feeling that we're not going to see a loaded roster here on Saturday. And before I do continue, I guess I will bring on Mr. KBD. Let's see if he's – oh, wait. I got ahead of myself. Oh, there he is. So, Mr. KBD, how are you doing, sir?
Well, I mean, that's technology for you. Just trying to catch up. I got like a gajillion pops up.
And pop-ups your thing is going up, really slow. Yeah.
You know, we'll deal with it as it comes.
Chris, real quick, before we bring on Tommy two time, I don't know if you saw the poll that we put up on Twitter. The vast majority of people believe that if we do have a parade, it should be in the 305. Were you surprised?
I mean, no, I'm not surprised. I mean, in reality, if it's messy, you wouldn't want it in Broward County, no?
I don't think Messi makes a difference. I think it's just the fact that they represent Miami, so it should be played in Miami. I mean, it should be done in Miami. I think that's basically what it boils down to.
Well, it's not played in Miami. Technically, it's played in Broward County.
But they represent Miami.
You're mentioning
Miami. I was trying to look it up.
Yeah.
64% of the people, small sample size, but 64% of the people that voted said it should be in Miami.
I mean, I get it because the name is – the name is Inter Miami, right? So you want it in Miami, but I mean, so let me ask you a question: if the Florida Panthers win and they have
Florida
a parade,
Panthers,
where's the parade going?
Florida Panthers,
come on! What are you gonna go have it in Gainesville?
No, okay. And before I don't want to spend too much time on this, but real quick, I'll give you a quick example. The New York Giants play in New Jersey. Do you think that they had their parade in New Jersey?
No.
No. They had it down the Canyon of Heroes down in New York City. So, I mean, I just wanted to put that out there. And that's a completely different state.
So you don't think that they'll have it in Broward County on Commercial Boulevard?
Nah. That's ridiculous. Who the hell cares about Broward? Anyway.
I don't care about Broward. I'm not saying it's a good idea, by the way. I'm not saying that. I would prefer it in Miami. What I'm telling you is that they would win in Broward County. First of all of the people in Broward would be super pissed, right?
Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
Who cares about Broward? If you live in Broward, I honestly don't care.
I mean, they got better houses. Their rates are better. They probably get paid better than Miami.
So they're winning already. I don't care if they get a parade. They're already winning. Anyway. All right, so we do have our special guest today. We have Tommy Two Time, joins us to cover. There he is, to cover New England Revs. Well, I guess he started last year, so I want to bring him on. How you doing, Mr. Tommy Two Time?
I started covering the Revs last year?
No, with us, with us.
Oh, covering with you guys with last year. I was going to say, yeah. I'm good. How you guys been?
We've been good. We've been good. Solid. We're winning.
Hanging and banging. There you go. Hello. I like how I'm part of the open. That's very funny.
Oh yeah. You saw it. Yeah, you started off. You started off.
I enjoy that. I do enjoy that. That stuck. I think you got to have the parade in Miami because first off, you could be playing in Miami at some point, right?
Hopefully next year.
Okay. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, Miami market's where the money is. To go back to what you were saying, though, you know, Dan, you know, the Giants, they play in Jersey, and when, you know, we beat the Patriots twice, because I'm a Giants fan, so I really enjoyed those years. But you know, when the Giants beat the Patriots twice, they had the parades in New York down to Canyon Heroes, but then they actually did do a parade inside of the old Giants Stadium in MetLife. So same day? I think it's a 2-for-1. Yeah, same day.
Oh shit. I wasn't aware of.
2-for-1 special.
Nice. I'm a Jets fan, so I never get to witness those things.
No, they're terrible.
Yeah, I know.
But here's my problem. You're talking about parades already?
Yes.
Why?
Because
we have Messi.
You have Messi, yeah. Who do you,
and we also have Campana.
Do you think Miami's the best team in the league right now without any bias?
If we're healthy, yes.
Fully loaded,
yes. Without bias, yes.
Do you think you'll be able to keep a healthy Miami team like this the entire year? I mean, those are
hypotheticals.
This is interesting, right? It's not a hypothetical though. It's like you kind of signed yourself up for with bringing in guys like Suarez, and Busquets and Messi and Alba. It's like, yeah, you know, we have all these great stars that, you know, have won overseas and, you know, they're going to do a tremendous service and bringing a lot of attention. But at the same time, you know, Suarez isn't like playing on turf, so he's not going to play this weekend. Messi might be playing this weekend. It doesn't seem like it's out of the realm of possibility right now. So that's actually kind of, you know, not breaking any news. I just haven't heard anything.
I think he might play.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play him.
Yeah.
But because of the whole 60,000 and all that stupid shit, I think he will play the last. I think he comes on as a sub.
I think you start and you run out 45 minutes. Let's be honest. It's not going to be that hard to beat the Revs this weekend. I don't think this team is down in the dumps. It is a sinking ship here in New England. I think you get them out there, maybe start off the game with them and then try to get a first half lead, maybe play them 45, 55 minutes and then take them out. Mm-hmm. And I think you can kind of land the plane against New England. I don't think it's going to take that much to beat them once you get a lead, because they can't play from behind. They've just shown that this year.
The thing is, historically, and then just judging off of what we've seen since he's been here, I'm yet to see Messi come off. When he starts, he finishes. So whenever they don't put him for a 490, he usually comes in as a sub. And I'm not saying that it can't happen, but I'm yet to see him come off early. Whenever they don't want him playing a 490, they usually just bring him on as a sub. And generally, it's in the 55th, 60th minute. That's usually how they do it with him. So I would expect something like that if they don't want him running out there the 490, which I hope they don't. But
I don't think it'll be necessary. I think, you know, next week against New York Red Bulls is when you really need him. And I think it is critical to start him this weekend just for that, right? You wanna have him in the rhythm of starting a full 45 minutes and getting into the rhythm of a game, especially, you know, getting ready to go up against a team like New York Red Bulls, who I think could make a deep playoff run this year. They've shown that they're, I think, a pretty good contender in the Eastern Conference. You know, they've gotten better offensively. I think the structure was already there last year. They were a big problem for the Revs a lot. So I think you're looking at real competition down the stretch. You know, because that's why I go back and laugh about talking about trophies and everything. You're putting the car. This is the pure definition of putting the cart before the horse. Do you know what the Sports Illustrated curse is? Come on. You're from New York. Well, you're from the Northeast. You're talking about trophies as if you're a self-admitted Jets fan. You don't know what winning is.
Let me put some context on it. We didn't start because this happened last night when we had our last episode. So a couple things. One, we do an episode four times a week. It's hard to find material to talk about four times a week. That's one. But the biggest reason we started talking about it was we started talking about
just murder yourselves.
Yeah. MLS parades in period. I was saying that they don't really exist all that often. I think
Columbus had
that if Messi wasn't here, this wouldn't even be a conversation because there would be no MLS parade here in Miami. So, for example, you've seen the Patriots, the Celtics, all those championships recently in the Boston area, New England area. If the Revs were to win an MLS Cup, do you think they would have a parade? I don't. NYCFC did not have a parade when they won it 2-3 years ago. Like I don't think Columbus, that the MLS had one.
NYCFC is a different situation. I think if the New York Red Bulls won a parade, it was what when NYCFC won?
It was 2021. They still had all those rules. That's when Kyrie couldn't get into fucking play.
Yeah, it was a little more relaxed. I mean, they put 40,000 people into Gillette that night, and they weren't spaced out. But I get your point. In New York City FC is different than the Red Bulls. I think the Red Bulls would have a parade. Would it be in New York? No, I think it would probably be in Jersey. It'd probably be in Harrison, or they'd probably do something in New. But that's where the Red Bulls' identity really is. I wish they would just identify themselves as the New Jersey Red Bulls. Quite frankly, just get over it. You know, because I mean, that's where you've been forever. That's where you're going to stay forever, and that's who you are. Just embrace that you're Jersey's team. You're not New York's team. But I do think they'll have a parade though, because they've had a long time loyal fan base and
big history.
Big history. Yeah. It's a completely different situation from opposed to a New York City FC team that fluked their way into the MLS Cup final. I don't care what anybody says.
That COVID screwed. Eastern Conference Finals, the Revs and Philly, their whole team was out with COVID and they ended up playing against basically a B team in the Eastern Conference Finals and they still almost lost. But whatever.
As for Messi, I think you have to play him. I think, especially with Red Bulls coming up, I think you don't have to play him for a full 90, but I think you get him out there for the show of it. You know, the little pageantry of him walking out Gillette Stadium. I think the league secretly wants that too. You know, you talk about the greatest quarterback of all time walking out there when Tom Brady, that image of Messi walking out with Kraft in the building and 60,000 people there. It's different in that sense too. You're talking about the profile of people that are going to be there that night. And that's something that, you know, the league that you want Messi out there for, I think. This is the market for it, you know, right? It's different than, you know, it's different than Dallas, I think. You know, well, maybe Dallas is a bad example.
Like Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's different than Cincinnati. It's different than Portland. It's different than, you know, San Jose. You know, this is, you know, one of these markets in MLS that you want succeeding, you know, leading, you know, the front when it comes to attracting new eyeballs. And I mean, let's be honest, the Northeast has just a large population of people that you want to suck up as much as possible. It's the math. It's simple math.
You want to try to grasp, try to grasp the corners of the map.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, you're going into 2026. And plus, you know, up here too, you know, we'll be seeing you guys a lot, you know, now that Rhode Island FC has come into existence, you know, Miami's got their USL championship team down there. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a busy weekend up here this weekend. You have Phoenix coming up here to play Rhode Island on Friday night. You have New England Revolution playing on Saturday night versus Miami. So, you know, you really want to optimize the audience that you're going to have over the next few days here. Now that's selfish, you know, us talking up here, you know, obviously you guys have to worry about your own thing. And like you said, you know, you can take the other side of it and, you know, do you just want to sit Messi and rest them up for New York and just get them, you know, a simple 20 minutes against a, again, sinking ship Revs team.
And you don't think that it's going to be more impactful that he comes on in the second half? Because I understand your point in terms of like bringing him on to start, right? So that way he could still sort of stay in the motion of starting games and playing. But it's like what Danny just mentioned, right? When he starts, he doesn't come off the field unless he's like really hurt. And the last thing you want to see is him coming off the field hurt or early off of playing on Gillette Stadium. Like, I think it would be impactful if he was to come on in the second half.
Yeah, no, I think he would too. Absolutely. I'm not saying he would. I look ahead to, you know, having, you know, good form and momentum going into the next week versus New York Red Bulls. But I mean, yeah, you know, sitting him too is not crazy. It's, you know, it's probably, you know, a good decision as well, again, because the Revs are a terrible team. So you don't necessarily need him this weekend to get past New England just to get a point. You just need a point this weekend versus the Revs. Everybody will go home happy.
And no injuries.
Yeah, no injuries. You know, the mission's not that hard when you come up here. It's not, we're not having the same conversation last year where I'm defending the Revs and saying and going at you guys when you're calling them an overrated team. Different conversation this year. You want to protect Messi. You want to protect this team moving forward because, you know, you guys are thinking trophies. I think you're crazy to talk about it out loud, even though you might be doing shows four times a week, but you're talking trophies at the end of the day. So you guys obviously, you know the ceiling is there for that success. So you want to be able to protect people. And quite frankly, you go back earlier in the year when the Revs were playing against FC Cincinnati. FC Cincinnati doesn't start Lucho Acosta in the first half. Revs keep the game 0-0. A couple opportunities where it looked like the Revs should have gone ahead. They don't. Cincinnati brings on Lucho Acosta in the second half. And the Revs end up losing the game at home against Cincinnati. So, you know, you don't necessarily need Messi in this first half, you know, and you could get him out there for 20 to 30 minutes. And again, everybody goes home happy.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, it's about the approach you want to take. I think, again, I go back to this. I think if you get an early lead on the Revs, landing the plane, I don't think is going to be necessarily that hard because, again, this team doesn't play well from behind at all. So, you know, it all depends on, you know, the approach that Tata wants to take.
And Danny, I love the fact that you and I are wearing our Campana shirts. So we might see another Leo get on the field. I don't know what the status is on his injury.
I don't know if you guys gamble. And if he is available, that would be a one where I would take any time goal scorer for that one.
Really? A Campana goal.
The Revs defense is in shambles right now. First off, they're talking about trading off Dave Romney. That was in a Tom Bogert report earlier this week. He's fallen out of favor with Caleb Porter. I've heard that, you know, they're looking to get rid of him for as little as $100,000, which is insane because, you know, Romney played every single game last year for the Revs. He was the defensive player of the year. And, you know, he has been lumped into what has been considered, you know, part of the problem for this Revs defense right now. So I think this Revs defense is vulnerable. You also have no DeJuan Jones this weekend. Heinrich Ravas, who I had a nice save last week versus, I think it was Bernadeschi in Toronto. Yeah. He's got some confidence coming into this week, but again, it hasn't been an easy transition for him into MLS. And again, I think a Miami team that wants to make a statement has a big opportunity to do so here against a wounded Revs team. I already have the episode because I'm recording tomorrow, you know, our show, New England Soccer Weekly, which I encourage everybody to subscribe to. The title of this week's episode is going to be The Sinking Ship and Rising Tides in New England. Because Rising Tides, Rhode Island FC, they won this weekend. They got their first winning club history.
That's a good one.
You know?
Very nice play on words.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm proud of myself. I took me all 20 minutes.
Well, like you said, they don't play well from behind. They've played 8 regular season games. They've been shut out 3 times. And in the other 5 games, they've managed to score a single goal in each of those. So I agree with if we score early, we have a chance of running away with a win. The only thing that surprised me is when I was looking at the attacking stats, I thought that they would be bottom of the league in shots attempted and shots on target. But they're nowhere near the bottom of the league.
No, they're
so
up
they're
there,
getting man. Opportunity. Yeah, they're getting their opportunities. They're just not converting, which worries me because Miami will our give you opportunities suspect. To score, which yes. which that does worry because yeah. we will give you opportunities to score.
No, Miami hasn't had a perfect start to the year. For, by any means, you guys given up 15 goals so far. So
but we're talking definitely. Silverware,
Yeah, you're talking silverware, and I think your offense makes up for a lot of your issues. And I think at the end of the day, your offense is stronger than what this Revs defense can handle right now. And I think so that's why I'm not going into the game thinking again concerned because the Revs might generate a lot of shots, but they don't do anything inside the area. They don't do anything inside the 18 that makes you say they're a threat. Giacomo Rioni has, while he's scored this year, he's not been really a threat at all. The system hasn't been working. He hasn't become what they would hope of him to be, as a designated player. And there's really just no other scoring threats. Tomas Cankulay, Carlos Hill, Matt Polestar on occasions, Esmir Bajratovic, let's try that again. Esmir Bajratovic. It's a team that takes a lot of shots outside the box. That's what you're going to see on Saturday.
That makes sense.
And they're a good team, a good shooting team outside the box. It's just, inside the 18, they're not a threat. And my theory is that I think teams have no problem absorbing pressure with, the Revs with how they come down the field for a couple of reasons, because first off, the offense, hasn't been able to translate over from the Bruce Arena era to the Richie Williams era, to the Clint Pierre era, to the Caleb Porter era, which was your outside wing backs would bomb up the field. Your center backs and your midfield would, essentially try to prevent any counterattack that would come along the way. And then your last line of defense was the best goalkeeper in the league at the time. And the Revs were able to hold possession, which is what they do now. They're able to pin teams back, hold possession. But Carlos was able to facilitate the ball better because the movement inside the box, whether it be Gustavo Bow, Bobby Wood, Dylan Barrero, would open up opportunities for, more dangerous threats. And you just don't have that this year now. So just a lot of the opportunities that, they're generating are outside the box. So, so teams just have no problem letting the Revs bomb down the field, just kick it around, let them eat up some clock, just, don't let anything, go through on the ground. And then you can beat the Revs on a counterattack. Because again, they play so high in a lot of what they do that beating them on a transition play is not that hard.
Now, the thing is, we don't have much speed on this team and we suck on beating the press because our center backs can't distribute the ball for the life of them. So that's another thing that worries me about playing against the Revs. Everybody's underestimating this team thinking that it's an easy win, but if we get pressed and we can't beat the press, on top of the fact that you guys already take shots from outside the box, you might get some good opportunities. We give up 1 or 2 clean opportunities to the opponents just off of a bad turnover in the back, which, again, worries me. And we're not necessarily the fastest team with Robert Taylor out, Theo Gomez now. We're not beating anybody on the counter. Luis Suarez is not beating anybody on the counter, which I don't think he's going to play. But
he's not playing this weekend either. So.
And Borjelin, our backup, because I don't know if Campana will be playing. Borjelin isn't beating anybody with his legs either. Everybody keeps telling me, "Oh, he's deceptively quick." No, he's not.
I don't know. I don't know what kind of speed these people are talking about. Yeah, he is not fast at all.
No.
Well, yeah, again, I'll be honest. This is like my first time that I'll be watching Miami. This version of Miami this year for a full 90, and I'm interested to see what what they've got. You know, obviously it's not the full squad and everything, but I think this is a good opportunity for would be a better opportunity for Miami to come up here and steal 3 points. And you know, if the Revs can shock everybody, and I think it would be a huge shock if they come away with 3 points this weekend, you know, at least it'll make good television. But I think this is a bigger opportunity for Miami to kind of be able to show that, you know, they're deeper than Suarez and, you know, the superstars and Campagna and everybody, right? You want to show that, you know, you have the pieces that can win you these games in May, June, July, that's going to keep you at the top of the Eastern Conference. Cause that's, you know, it's your depth that puts you over the top. I think, you know, I think that's what you've seen with the Revs over the last couple of years when they were at the top of the league is that, you know, while they might have had some of the best depth, the guys when they needed, you know, some guys off the bench to step up, they did. And you just had the right pieces that fit. So it's either, you know, you just have to be deep enough or just have the right pieces that, you know, complement your system the right way. So, it'll be interesting.
I got a question because this is a very good question, at least for me, because I'm thinking about going over there to watch.
There are so many questions that are coming in, by the way, right now at the bottom left-hand corner. I keep on trying to, like, catch it. I don't like some of them. I don't know, like, if they're ridiculous, and then some of them I think
are
expected to be lower. Are price expected to be lower? No, they jacked up the prices everywhere. Got jacked up. That's what Messi Mania brings. Messi Mania brings people spending money on games like it's you're going to a Miami Heat game, or you're going to a Florida Panther game, or you're going to an NFL game in some cases. You're paying definitely above market average, but this is what everybody's been waiting for, right? It doesn't matter where you are in the country. Everybody's paying more.
This is what I saw online because I was looking into going to the game this weekend, and 225 more or less is probably the lowest I've seen. Well, I mean, on other websites, I've seen like 180, 170, 190, but for the most part, the prices for a Messi game away, I guess, are not that bad. I was just looking at it from the prism of Messi's not going to play, Suarez is not going to play, this guy's not going to play, that guy's not going to play, so you're going to get our B team, and I'm not willing to throw down over $100 on the B team.
Yeah, it's not worth it. I mean, you know, if the flights, too, were cheaper. You know, everything in this economy right now sucks, so it's like, why spend the money? On a win, at least a point. Yeah, and again, spend it on a game that's going to be more exciting later in the year.
Yeah.
Well, sure. I guess, that. I mean, we haven't necessarily directly addressed it. The turf that everybody's talking about. New England, a lot of people say it's the worst pitch in the league.
Yes.
The last 2 years that we've played, I believe we've lost 2 players to ACLs. Mm-hmm. Have they addressed that at all with the World Cup coming in 2026?
Yeah, it's like, going to be a grass field. To address it? Yeah, no, it's addressed. It'll be a grass field, and it'll be a grass field, and they're working on it now. I think it's like it takes a couple of years in development. If you search around,
it seems like a big job.
Yeah, I think it might be MIT or one of the universities. I think it might be University of Minnesota too. Is developing the grass, and then like they have to maintain it for the next couple of years. Like, so this grass is being produced now. Like, they're not waiting until 2026. Like, they're getting ahead of it now. And I know Brian Bolello has talked about this extensively elsewhere. And yeah, they're fully prepared for, and Brian Bolello, team president of the New England Revolution.
Yeah.
They're fully prepared for 2026 when it comes to grass. So the question will be whether or not the grass remains after 2026. Then you would hope that the Revs are in their last season inside Gillette Stadium. Right now they're working on a stadium deal to move up to just north of Boston in a city called Everett, which is like, it's still, you know, 5-10 minutes by car outside of Boston, 30 minutes with traffic. But, you know, it's not in Boston, which is, you know, another story for a different day. But, you know, whether or not they're going to keep all of these grass fields after the World Cup, it's something the NFL is going to be talking about. It's something that Major League Soccer is going to be talking about. This might be the moment in sports when we can finally just transition off of turf forever. And maybe that goes out of business.
Right.
And we put big turf under the turf. Ba-dum-bum.
And I for those of you
I'm keep asking Chris about turf, I love it.
Yeah, right. A lot of you that are asking about the turf, I believe, and maybe one of you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, one of the biggest reasons that they go turf is because it's so versatile. If they have like concerts at the stadium or whatnot, it's easier to maintain for a lot of different events than just a sporting event. But when you have grass, it becomes a lot more complicated when you have a concert or any type of event there. Turf is just easier.
It's everywhere, right? I mean, Giants, the old Giant Stadium, MetLife, you know, there's very few places that still have grass. But again, for player safety, turf is not the answer. And yeah, it's just, it worked for a while. It was a cool, neat thing, you know, technology. Ooh, look at this. But, you know, the better option is grass. Now, the thing is that, you know, you just have all of these billionaire owners that know they have to maintain into, you know, grass maintenance. And, you know, I think some places actually were prepared for it. Like, I think all these stadiums that have like the ability to have retractable turf fields, I don't understand why you wouldn't be able just to replace that turf, right? And then put the grass that you've already grown, you know, where the turf is, you know, and now you have these grass fields that you can protect and, you know, try to maintain and water and whatnot. And so it's gonna be interesting. I wonder what'll happen after 2026, but grass field coming to Foxborough.
I don't think that people really understand how much upkeep is necessary to maintain
like, it is a lot.
Real grass field. And I know that what was that team that we looked
nobody
into,
feels
Danny?
Sorry for those billionaires. They could spend the money and figure that shit out.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, you're not talking about just figuring it out. You're talking about like figuring it out plus hiring a ton of guys that know how to figure it out.
Hire them motherfuckers
them
out.
Big money. Because you're not hiring.
They do that shit all over Europe. They do it all over Europe. I don't want to hear that shit.
So my whole deal is, I mean, is
yeah, but how many of those European stadiums also host concerts too, right? And a host like,
that's the
you know,
point
host
that I was
Monster
making,
Trucking. You know, they're multi. These are multi-purpose facilities. This is not like it's you know just like many of these soccer stadiums over in Europe or down in Mexico. You know, even if they have like a concert, right? You know, you could spread it out far enough where you can kind of regrow the grass if something dies or whatever. But, you know, a lot of these multi-purpose facilities there, you know, we're talking about monster truck events. We're talking about concerts. We're talking about more than just
in that aspect. That's what I said that's why
rodeos, if you're depending on where you are in the country.
That's why I think it's so popular, but they got to figure that shit out. They got enough money, especially if you're in the NFL. If you're an NFL stadium, I'm sorry, you got buttloads of money. No excuses.
Well, Mike V is mentioning after 2026, Revs are just going to transfer the Celtics floor to the stadium. So I guess that's
the parquet.
And there was a field that we were looking into, Danny, when we were talking about the fields and stuff. There's one with like a hybrid technological grass.
Portland has a hybrid.
I mean, that's, I guess, something that we should look into. Why stadiums don't incorporate that grass. I mean, it seems like it's a little bit more economical from an owner's perspective, right?
I know Real Madrid. I don't know if you ever want to look it up, Chris. And I don't know if you've looked it up, Tommy. Their new stadium, it's some wild thing that like the floor opens up and then like the field comes in and like goes underground.
Yeah, I've seen that.
To, like maintain. It's wild. Like there's technology out there that can make a lot of these things happen.
Yeah,
it's expensive.
Vegas has
but,
it. Vegas has it. Vegas does retractable fields, Arizona does too.
Okay,
you know they don't. It doesn't fold the same way like Madrid's does, like you saw. But you know they're able to move those fields
out of the stadium.
The difference with Madrid's is that you can and this is what I was kind of talking about. You can take it section by section and replace the grass. So you know, let's just say you've got another piece of grass growing in the backfield somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like. You know when like something dies on like an LED board?
Yeah.
And they replace the LED.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you replace that LED board with like another thing, and you plug it in there, it automatically looks like the rest of it. That's pretty much what it would be.
Right.
You know, so you just, but you're asking for a big investment. And, you know, like Chris was saying, it's about, you know, you're hiring
another, what,
25 to 50 guys, plus all the materials that comes with that. Yeah, you know, you're a billionaire, but
you can't, and you can't just get any guy.
Yeah.
You can't just get any guy. I can't get Joe Schmo down the street, Danny, that does
we local can find grass some, cutting. We can find some awesome.
You gotta think like for you gotta think of for like baseball. You gotta think for baseball. It's
you gotta get scientists on this shit.
It's so they it's, have people it, at MIT.
Yeah, they have at MIT, University of Minnesota. They're the ones that, you know, I've seen that are part of taking care of the, you know, grass maintenance for the World Cup. So
yeah. Right.
Well, and well, Mike right, V, just before you move on, Danny, just I want to mention this. Mike V,
yeah, saying, but Mike, they don't have, they don't hold on. Wait. I'm sorry. I got to respond to this comment. They might have had Metallica in on a Friday, but guess what? In a place like New England, they have things called the monster truck rallies, where we bring in 7-ton giant freaking Gravedigger and monster whatever other monster trucks were out there. I forget the cliche other ones names, when I was a kid.
Dominators.
Gravedigger was a big one when I was growing up. Like you're yeah. using, you know, you're using the stadium for stuff like that. Motocross is another one that's big up here and that they use in other stadiums. So it's like, yeah, it's one thing to have concerts. It's another thing to be using, you know, to switch up the stadium for more than like 5 events. And yeah, I don't know if owners are cheap, but not all of them. Billionaires don't have an endless and, you know, supply of money.
I think they do. I think they do. If they run into trouble, they'll get help. They'll get helped. I have no issues there.
Hazel,
they play in a different field than we do. Hazel Lopez, let's play in the Boston Red Sox field. I hate that NYCFC plays in Citi Field, Yankee Stadium. It's horrible. That's not even an option. It's a disaster. The dimensions, the outfield, they're so far from the field. It's horrible.
We got Tommy one time chiming in here.
Oh, Tommy one time. That's right.
Tommy one time. right. ATL.
Yep.
Cleveland ATL.
Cleveland ATL. That's right. Oh, man. I forgot. I was going to ask you about WrestleMania, but that would take us off on a completely different tangent.
WrestleMania. You just asked him. Okay. Awesome.
Ask him the same questions you asked Tommy.
Well, just real quick, what did you think of WrestleMania? Was it the best of all time? I don't think so.
No. I think if you take Night 2 on its own,
could have
maybe. Been. Yes. Night 1 was a struggle. Night 1 was like sitting
the crowd was horrible.
The house. No, the crowd wasn't horrible. It was freezing. The crowd was hot during the Sammy match. Here's the thing. WrestleMania needs to be one night. And
yes,
I'm sorry, not everybody belongs on WrestleMania. Yes, you might work your ass off all year. Yes, this is, you know, your industry. Yes, WrestleMania is the weekend to showcase everything that you do. I get it. But guess what? Not everybody gets to the Oscars. Not everybody gets to the Emmys. Not everybody gets to the Grammys. Nobody loves the product more than me. I think that Triple H is doing an amazing job. I think they have completely left AEW in the dust. I think that's wonderful 100%. That the Northeast is now back in control of everything that's good with wrestling again. They have made a big mistake during the Vince McMahon later years going to two nights with WrestleMania. It was fine during the pandemic when nobody had anything else to do.
Yep.
It's too much for two nights. Condense it down to a 5-hour show, 6 to 11, 5 to.
No, absolutely not. Five. That's why I can't make it out anymore. I used to make the travel and I used to go, but I can't. Two nights is too much.
And they've pretty much forced you to buy for two nights now.
Yeah. Yeah, because they separate the. I mean, obviously, you have too many events, one on each night. It ruined it for me.
But when you're buying the tickets, like it's cheaper to buy for the two nights opposed for the one night.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, right, but
Tommy one time said Cody over Roman. Just so you know, everybody's already turning on Cody. Like the chase was the whole gimmick for Cody. Now he's at the top. That there's nowhere for him to go. His
I wouldn't say that. You have to let the story ride out. Nobody knew where. Nah. Nobody knew where the tribal chief thing was going. And listen, I became a big fan of it. I thought, you know, I didn't. I actually, when I walked in there, I wanted Roman to win because I just felt like, you know what, this is the one chance that you have to beat the Hogan record. You're that close. Why break it now? If you're going to call Roman the greatest of all time, which I don't think he is, but if you're going to make this claim that he's the greatest of all time, then he has to beat the greatest of all time. So there you go.
And people are for every six comments of wrestling, I get fellas back to soccer. So we'll flip flop it a little bit during the show, guys.
I was triggered. Cool.
Yeah, well, that's why I knew that would be a tangent. And when is the Tommy Two Time podcast starting? I mean, we're hoping the summertime. We'll see. All right. So back, New England. I usually ask if there's any chance that Miami can win. What would you say? What would you say is the advantage that Miami has? But I'm gonna flip it because I think that New England is that bad. Why should Miami worry? Like, what are the chances that New England somehow upsets Miami this weekend?
Pissed off Chankalai comes in and just shows up Miami. Tomas Chankalai sat last week for 70 minutes of that game versus Toronto. When he came in against Toronto, the Revs were down 1-0, and I thought gave New England an opportunity a couple times to level up that game. And I thought if he would have played a little bit longer than 70 minutes, maybe you find a way to win that game. And I think if he can figure out a way to get going, and especially on a weekend like this where, you know, like you said, this is not Miami's A team. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the defensive issues that Miami has. He's the guy that is going to, above all else right now, needs to get going. You know what Carlos Heel can do. Mm-hmm. It's the pieces around him that need to cooperate. And if Chankalai gets going, this is what's going to get the team in the right direction. I have no faith in Vrioni. I've given up on the project. I think you have nothing to worry about there this weekend. Again, Carlos is going to be Carlos. He's going to create scoring opportunities. He's going to find guys in open areas. He's going to find open passes that you're going to be like, how does he make that play? So Chankalai is at the top of my list. Be interesting to see what they do with Esmir Bayraktarevic. He's been good earlier this year. They have a lot of faith in him. And in terms of what, you know, young guys have done, you know, last year Noel Buck was, you know, the real darling of the team. And, you know, he's kind of fallen into a weird place where he went from, hey, you're going to end up in Tottenham one day, kid, to he just kind of disappeared. But now, you know, Esmir's kind of taken over that role of, you know, the young kid on the team that's really shining right now for New England. So you have that. And then, you know, Nacho Heel's been playing well. You know, him and his brother do connect well with each other. I never liked the signing. I always felt like it was a nepotism signing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know, he's got an assist on the year. Those would be the guys I would look out for this weekend. Other than that, I really just don't think New England has a shot in hell. Chris, you have yourself muted, Christopher. There you go.
Before you get to your question, Danny, I have a question. How's it been since Bruce Arena's not on the team anymore? Is it like a weird feeling? Do you feel like, I mean, obviously it's been pretty bad in terms of success, but how's it been like in the locker room, like with the players? It seems like a loaded question.
It is a loaded question because First off, I'm not in the locker room, so I can't speak for those guys. Yeah. When I did speak to Omar Gonzalez at the end of the last year, you know, they were getting mixed messages. They didn't know who they were, you know, getting orders from. You know, were they listening to Richie Williams? Were they listening to Kurt Arnolfo? Were they listening to Clint PA? There was no leadership. Bruce was the steady hand of the organization. There's no steady hand of the organization now. Kurt Arnolfo's the sporting director of this team. I think he's done an awful job to start, you know? And I think he's got a lot of work to make up for what I think is, you know, getting, you know, near an unsalvageable season. And it's just, it is a weird vibe right now. I wish it was a lot better, but it's just not.
Could you remind me, I don't know if it ever came to light, what it was that happened with Bruce Arena? Because I remember at first it was like nobody was talking about it, nobody knew, and I can't remember if it ever came into light.
Never officially came into light. You know, I think people know this story. Everybody, you know, I think it's very hard for this thing to I don't know if the it comes down to if the people involved will ever say it.
Okay.
You know,
so nothing official.
Yeah, it's one thing for it to come out of my mouth, but until it comes out of the people's mouths who are actually there, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
And I think this story. Well, let me rephrase. I think people are going to be shocked by the story when it does come out, and that this is what he was let go for.
Interesting.
But you know, you have another side that will say, it's just a narrative. It's not real. You know, I had one person within the organization tell me that it was the worst piece of journalism that they've ever seen when referring to the Bogert story about how the Revs, about the whole, you know, Bruce getting fired and the tying it back to Kurt Arnolfo and Richie Williams. So they have a completely different perspective that is pretty much, you know, they're all innocent and this is, you know, a fake story. So you're stuck in this limbo, you know, there's two sides of it. Both sides have their stories.
Yeah.
It's a matter of which side blinks first.
We don't want to get Tommy in trouble for reporting things that aren't.
No, I've already been in enough trouble with them. You know, I'm already banned from covering them this year in person. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, there was one incident where, you know, nothing to do with even covering, you know, the Bruce situation itself, but having to do, you know, talking about, you know, certain agents being connected to certain players. And so it rub some people the wrong way within the building. So, but I, you know, I have my reasons why funny. I actually think I was kind of, you know, so it's just, everybody's on edge up there because they all know they're on the hot seat. There's no way the leash should be long for anybody. This is unacceptable. This was a team that was sitting in second place last year in the league, in going into League's Cup. And quite frankly, they were a team that I thought could have maybe won League's Cup because they had the roster for it. So it's really disappointing to see what's become of what was finally going to be the crowning moment for an MLS original. It's gone. You know, this isn't the year. I would be flabbergasted if they make the playoffs. There's just no way. There's no way. They're blowing up the team. You know, you talk about keeping core guys like Matt Polster, Carlos Heel. They'll buy it. You get rid of a guy like Dave Romney, that's a problem, in my view. That's a core guy that you're getting rid of. You get rid of a guy like Andrew Ferrell, which is something I wouldn't be completely shocked if they trade him away. That's a problem. That's a core guy you're getting rid of.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, yeah.
I mean, it's just, moving.
You don't have a steady hand. You don't have leadership. There's no leadership right now. And I feel, here's the other thing too that people need to be aware of, your audience. This is not a Caleb Porter issue. I really feel bad for Caleb Porter because he walked into a nightmare.
Yeah.
This was something that, hey, nobody was picking up the phone for Caleb Porter. The Revs picked up the phone for Caleb. He took on a really crappy situation. But at the same time, you know, if you're just being objective about it, the guy's won in two different cities. So he deserves that. He deserves that respect of being given a chance. The problem is that this is not his roster. Now, I don't know if moving Romney is moving towards him getting the roster he needs to be able to move forward. But, you know, I think Kurt Anofo is a big part of the problem with what you're seeing in New England right now.
Hazel, this real quick, has the Revolution ever won the MLS Cup? I believe they haven't.
They have not.
But they've made the final like five times.
They are the Buffalo Bills of Major League Soccer.
Mm-hmm. At some point, the Philadelphia Eagles, no?
Let's go, Buffalo!
The Eagles had only made it twice, though. Like, making it five times and not winning one, that's rough. That's worse than Buffalo.
The Eagles won a Super Bowl, though.
That's what I'm saying. Well, before they won it, they had made it twice without winning.
The Revs will win an MLS Cup one day. It won't be this year, and it probably won't be next year. But one day they will.
One day.
So let's talk about this weekend. If we're going to go into it, let's just finish it off with predictions, Danny. Do you want to allow our guests to start off with the prediction here?
I feel like he's given us his prediction throughout the show. So I'll start off before I get his official prediction. I think Messi does play as much as I don't want him to. I think he might even start and play a full 90 as much as I don't want him to.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I really do. I think it'll be similar to that Charlotte game last year where he played on turf over there in Bank of America Field in Charlotte where to me, it looked like he was picking and choosing when he would make his runs, but he was walking more than usual during that game. I think it'll be something similar. But I still think that we'll win, and I'm just going to say 2-0 this Saturday.
I'm gonna go with the same one I had last week, Danny. 3-1. I feel like we're still getting exposed on our defensive back line, but I think we're gonna put a couple balls in the back of the net, so I think we'll be good. And before we get to your pick, Tommy Two Time, we got here Hazel saying BILLS stands for Boy, I Love Losing Super Bowls.
Let's go, Buffalo.
So what's your prediction here, Tommy?
2-1 Miami. But I wouldn't be shocked if it ended up like 1-1 either. But I personally think if Miami jumps out to an early 1-0 lead this weekend, it's going to be very hard for New England to come back. Again, I don't think they play well from behind. They've shown that this year that they don't do that well. They have played – New England has played in a lot of close games this year. So there's that too. But you see spurts of energy at times where this team hangs around with opponents. But, again, you can see that first goal, and it's an uphill battle. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So I
don't know how many times we've done it in the 10 games, but I want to say in more than half of the 10 games we've played, we've given up a goal in the first 15 minutes. So if you guys are going to score, it's going to be early.
The Revs have started out games pretty well, you know, the last couple. Against Toronto last week, there were a couple of opportunities I thought where the Revs could have taken an early. Sean Johnson, I thought, played a really good game. You know, Caleb Porter said after the game against Toronto, he thought that the Revs were the better team for the most part that day. And I don't know if I necessarily completely agree because he lost at the end of the day. But, point is taken, you know, and they do have spurts where they really play well, but they can't connect together for a full 90 minutes. And that's part of the problem right now.
Yeah.
Before Danny, you get to your questions, Chris, I just wanted to bring this up real quick. Mitch just gave us his list of top five WrestleManias. This is an atrocious list. WrestleMania 25 has the greatest match of all time, but the rest of the card sucked. And 31 should be higher. Sorry, I just wanted to just mention that real quick.
31 sucks. Stop it. That was San Francisco, I love 31. Right?
Yeah, 31 was awesome. 31, I think, is top three. Most, by far, so underrated.
You're leaving out Triple Detroit? Yes, that was a terrible match.
That was a nostalgic match. That's what WrestleMania should be.
Yes, it was a nostalgic match where Triple H put himself over again. Shocking. On WrestleMania.
Oh, well, I love it. Why would we put WCW over WWF?
And I love Triple H. Don't get me wrong, but Jesus Christ, did Sting have to lose at goddamn WrestleMania?
He did.
We couldn't give Sting one WrestleMania win. We'll never get Sting and Taker. Not.
Yeah, who cares? So,
ooh, all right. Do I get royalties for that $2?
Go ahead, your question. Go ahead, Chris.
So here we got. I mean, you've had a couple other questions already asked before. But this one is a new one, so I'm just going to bring it up right here. Did we do that with him or no? Okay. No.
Oh, by the way, before you guys do anything, I got to promote this real quick. Download Prize Picks today, okay? It's a fantasy sports app, fantasy sports gaming app. They match your first deposit up to $100. So you're not picking over-unders. You're not picking money lines or anything like that. You know, you pick more or less on player stat projections. It's like pretty much playing fantasy sports. They match your first deposit up to $100 when you use the promo code Quinn, Q-U-I-N. So just wanted to sneak that in there. That's why I'm labeled Quinn Picks, because that's my thing. So
gotta look out. Look out for the Batter Fam, guys. Look out for the Batter Fam. Check all that out. And then look, Jason L is saying Sting is overrated.
100%.
Yeah. Now, you're on mute, Tommy. You're on mute right
Thank
now,
God,
Tommy.
So if he was defending Sting, I didn't want to hear that shit.
Oh, man, no. He's still off. Yeah, he's still on mute. I don't know what happened, but your audio is not on. But
started defending.
While you get that checked in the settings, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ramble on. You're still speaking and we don't hear you. So... Yes, really. And look at he is looking all in the settings right now.
Are we better? And
yes, yeah, now we are better. Absolutely. You know,
this Sting comment's the most egregious thing I've heard all night.
He's not overrated. I agree with that. He's not overrated.
Right now, I'm actually going to put on.
I could literally go into a full 60 minutes as to why I hate Sting.
No,
he shouldn't have won the title in 97 at Starrcade, but whatever. Go ahead, Chris. Get into your question.
Bischoff screwed up the finish.
Nah, he was fat and he didn't have a tan, like Bischoff said.
Okay, you listen to Conrad. That's good. Yeah.
So I went grocery shopping, and the way that I go shopping is I pull my shopping cart from the front, not like these weirdos that push from the back. So, my question, Tommy, the first one, are you a pusher or a puller?
I'm a pusher. That's a little weird, the pulling. And a little obnoxious if you think about it, because there's less stability when you're pulling opposed to when you're pushing. Like when you're pulling, it's like the safety of driving with one hand versus two hands. You're pulling with one hand, because you know what? You look cool. That's why you're pulling with the one hand.
I don't even drive with hands. I drive with my knee.
We have established that Chris thinks he's a cool guy. We established this two episodes ago that he doesn't do anything nerdy. What was it? I don't do nerd shit. Is that what you was it that you said?
I guess.
Hold on. Now when you're done with your grocery cart, what do you do with it after?
I take it back to the store.
You take it back to the store. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a dickhead. I used to work at a grocery store. I don't like being on cart duty at getting extra carts. So next question, you got to pick one. And this is do or die right here. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was a battle. NSYNC or Backstreet Boys? Which way are we going here, Tommy?
Backstreet Boys.
Oh, there we go.
You're awful.
That's an easy one.
I try to tell Chris. Yes, because if you're picking NSYNC, you're not picking NSYNC. You're picking Justin Timberlake. You're not picking Justin Timberlake.
No, you're not. Yeah. You're
As a group,
Backstreet Boys was much better.
Yeah.
They had Joey Fatone.
They were a better as a boy band group. Backstreet Boys was better.
I mean, I guess, but like they were all like, I mean, everybody liked Anthony Carter, and that's it.
Who the hell is
Anthony Carter versus Justin? I mean, not Anthony Carter. What's this kid? The Carter kid.
Nick Carter.
Yeah, Nick Carter. Him versus Justin Timberlake. He takes the major L, big time.
Oh boy. And Boyz II Men over them also, but they weren't a boy band technically. They were an R&B group. Really
Boyz II Men wasn't a boy band. They were R&B.
That's what I'm saying. They weren't a boy band. So Boyz II Men wouldn't
count. You know what, Mitch? Yes, I don't appreciate the bullshit here, Mitch. I don't appreciate that. It's 2-0, baby.
Mitch, just so you know, there's two Knicks fans on the podcast right now. So
2-0, baby. Get the fuck out of here.
I don't know if you saw the official NBA two-minute report where they said that it was a foul that they didn't call.
I didn't see that shit. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Get out of here, Danny. All right. Finish the show.
The 76ers. It's a wonderful thing.
All right. And then finally, do you eat cereal, Tommy?
I do.
All right. When you eat cereal and then you finish the last bit of cereal, you still got some milk left. Do you refill it or do you slurp the milk?
Oh, I slurp.
Like an oyster.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll refill it if I'm getting more cereal. But then I'll, you know, when I'm done, I'm done. And, you know, you just drink the rest.
You drink it. Yeah, this guy Danny says that he's too fine for that shit. He dumps it.
Oh, that's wasting milk.
Yeah, no, he talks about rich people.
It's a bunch of sugar.
He's as rich can get.
What did you just say? It's a bunch of sugar.
Yeah,
it's just a bunch of sugary milk. That's the best
part.
Yeah, but you're eating the sugar anyways.
I know, but it tastes different. Not just sugar milk. It doesn't taste good. I don't want that shit.
But you're eating it anyways. You're literally having the sugar in the milk. When you're eating the
sugar. I can't just drink. No, I need to eat my sugar. I don't want to drink my sugar.
This guy is a serial killer. You're a serial killer, Danny.
Shut up. You pull your cars like a homeless person.
Listen.
All right. Tommy, we appreciate you joining us, sir. And I know we play each other at some point again, so we hope that you come back with us. Let everybody know where they can find you, and also let them know about that code again for your picks.
Yes. First off, download Prize Picks today. That's why my name is Quinn Picks. Use the promo code Quinn, Q-U-I-N. And they match your first deposit up to $100. That is Prize Picks. It's pretty much like if you ever played on the old DraftKings, you do fantasy sports like that. There you go. So try to hook it up for you guys. You put in 20, they give you 20. So there you go. And then New England Soccer Weekly, we are recording tomorrow. The Revs made a couple of signings today that I'm going to lose my mind about. One of them being the defender Javier Arriaga, which is going to be an interesting conversation there. Revs are also adding a goaltender, which makes no sense to me, whatever. And yeah, so New England Soccer Weekly, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Bang.
That's beautiful. It, baby.
All right. Again, we appreciate you joining us. Somebody said I should just spit out the milk like Kurt Angle. I'm with it. Chris, any final words?
I think I'm just going to leave it with this, Danny, just so you can suck it. 90s music was better in general. Can we agree on that? Absolutely.
No.
Tell Danny that.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Early to mid-2000s doesn't get the respect it deserves. Early Alicia Keys, early Usher.
There you go. No, and I also think that people just associate it with a simpler time in their life. So they just become more attached to that. Chris lives in the 90s. He still uses VCRs. It's ridiculous. This guy's
a psychopath. You're wearing a shirt that was made by Saved by the Bell.
Look at that.
I know, but I renewed it, though. Like, I redid it. Right? Right? It's
the new school. Danny.
All right. If you guys are interested in the Miami Heat and want to hear some Heat talk, we're going to get on in about 5 minutes to talk. Battered Heat fans, so go ahead and join us on that YouTube channel, Battered Heat Fans. And we'll be on there talking about that last loss and how there's probably no hope for the rest of the series. But whatever, we'll be on there talking about that in about 5 minutes. So we appreciate you guys joining us now and hopefully joining us then. If you are listening on audio, we appreciate you joining us all the way to the end. Please leave us 5 stars, comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you are watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. And as always, thank you guys in the chat. You guys, as always, are the best part of the show. We appreciate you hanging out with us for 1 hour and 5 minutes. And again, we won't be back this week because I got some other things to do. But we will be back for the post game on Saturday. So we shall see you then. So until the next one, have a good one. Peace.